Well, we have to do Cubs updates this week, Jay.
Well, okay.
The game's going on right now. They're one up. They're up 1-0. Chris Bryant's at the plate. Man on third, man on first, one out. Top of the third inning.
You know, KB is going deep.
He's due. He couldn't hit one last night for me to get in the fantasy baseball playoffs.
Shut the front door.
Yep.
Shut the front door. Are we recording right now?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be darned. I did not know. Welcome to the Talking Bear Football podcast.
Right here on WestBranchFootball.com. You can always tell when we're recording.
I should. Matt changes a little.
I get into podcast mode.
Gets in podcast mode.
There's just a switch.
Not the static noise podcast mode. It's just Talking Bear Football.
Or my illegal gambling on games podcast.
But we don't talk about those.
No.
If you're paying attention at home, he did well. No, I'm just kidding. Speaking of doing well, we're going to play a little clip for you here shortly. If Matt would not have been so judgmental of Javi.
No.
We didn't know what to expect.
That was not the case.
He did not have confidence in my buddy, Javi.
That was not the case.
What was the case?
The case was I didn't know if a week was going to be enough time to find a replacement kicker.
You don't know the Bears football program.
But you know what? And now I've learned.
Now I've learned my lesson.
But you know what? In my defense, I thought the team was just going to go for two every time.
And wouldn't you know it? They did not go for two a single time.
And you know what's even better?
Wait for it.
They were 5 for 5.
They were 5 for 5 point after touchdown.
Just to ram it right in my face.
So Matt's score that he projected last week, I was 4-18. Like I said, I had a feeling.
Yep.
And the feeling was good. And the Bears played well. We will get to that. But Matt's score, he was the first person to have the chance to say a score. He says,
Here's what I said.
Wait for it.
Here's what I said.
Here you go.
35-14. Nope, I take that back.
Yeah.
30-14. West Branch.
Well, in other words, Matthew, had you have stuck to your guns instead of thinking the Bears historically go for two every time, they've done it for years, I know, which they don't, by the way, we know that, but had you have stuck to your guns, you would have had an exacta.
I think that would have been the first time on this show.
It would have been the first time ever.
I'm pretty sure in the 34 episodes we have done.
35, counting the A.
This is the 35.
This is 35.
Well, 35, yeah, you're right. So there have been 34 episodes.
Yeah.
The 35 episodes.
Yeah. It would have been the first time.
Yep.
And we have a standing pool going on that. Every week we donate one peanut.
Quarterback.
There are a lot of peanuts in there. And some zucchini. And he would have won. It's going to happen soon. I got a feeling that it might be this week. You never know. But before we get to that, let's talk last week, Matt.
Yep.
West Branch, 35, Jessup, 14, the final.
As I said.
As you said.
Last week.
And changed your mind to 30-14, 35-14, the final. The Bears were rolling and rolling. We're doing it well. Other than a couple of turnovers, there was a turnover on a long pass play reception by Luke Lenock. He laughed about it after the game, but you know, during the game, he's rolling down again. He gets hit about the 15. The Bears might have punched it in. And
yeah,
I got a feeling they would have.
Luke even said himself, he's like, I should have just gone right and gone right out of bounds instead of cutting it back left and finding the open.
Because you know, people are going to come behind you, and the first thing they're going to try and do is not tackle you.
Nope.
They're going to try to tackle the football because you can't see them coming.
Correct.
Well,
so that was sound tackling, quote unquote, on Jessup's part.
And then a couple of inopportune penalties that rung on third and long once, and et cetera. And a couple times where the Bears were in perfect position on defense, just didn't make the catch as for an interception. One of them, I think, would have been a pick six. But Brett Shealy made a great play on the ball.
Oh, yeah.
He was in great position. That's going to come. He's a sophomore. That's going to come as he gets more experience, Matt. I think those things are going to happen more often.
Absolutely. I was watching the game film on that, and I actually replayed that almost interception by Brett just a couple times because just the way that he kind of read the quarterback, reacted to the ball, jumped in front of the receiver. I mean, he did everything perfectly, you know, other than catch the ball, of course, which, you know, as you said,
that'll
come. It was almost like watching a college or an NFL game, like just the way that he was able to read it, jump in front of the pass, perfect position. That, as you said, that stuff is going to come. Age thing, but experience, just as we get through the season and get a little bit more comfortable. Confidence, yeah, and in the position you're playing, confidence in yourself to be able to, you know, make the catch and do all the things that you need to do to improve on this week, which, I mean, that's basically what Coach Peterson said in the post-game interview. Was like, or post-game talk with the team. He was very happy with the win, but there was obviously things that he felt that needed to improve on, but it was, you know, a lot better than week two, or even a lot better than week one even.
Yeah.
And so he was happy enough with the team that he asked them what they were going to do Saturday. No one responded, and he said, not a damn thing.
We're not going to do a dang thing.
It was pretty funny.
Day off. Weekend off. They deserve it.
Yep.
After getting home at 11:35 that night, they deserve.
And there was a Iowa football game the next day.
There was.
So.
That night, it was
that night,
the Hawks won.
That they did.
So, but that's talking Hawkeye football. This is talking Bear football, right?
Yep.
I think it is, anyway. So, 35-14, the
talking
final.
Talking Cubs baseball.
Talking Cubs baseball.
They're up
2-0 through
2-0, yeah.
2-0 now through
3.5.
Two and a half innings.
And a half.
Bottom of the third coming up.
Yep.
The Cubs put another run on the board. 2-0. Kyle Hendricks is on the mound for the Cubs. So, that's like having, last year, having
Arrieta.
Cooper Koenig, you know, having he and Luke Lenock, and or, you know, having a strong quarterback like Brandon Rummelhart right now.
Yep.
Let's look at it like this. Here's some stats. Brandon Rummelhart in two games has thrown for 431 yards in two games, or basically 6 3/4 quarters.
Mm-hmm.
6 3/4 quarters. That's weird to say it, but he didn't play a full game in game number. In fact, in
he didn't
game
play
one,
a full game in game
he played
number
partial
one.
So, I mean, just over two games, we'll say that, of playing time, not a full three games.
Nope.
He's thrown for 434 yards. Is that correct? 431 yards, is that correct?
Total?
Yes. I think it was 260 and 171 last week. 260 week two. I don't know if he had any week one. Help me out there.
I think it
was 260 week two and 170. He was 10 for 17 this week for 171.
My season stats thing on the westbranchfootball.com is not working.
Okay.
Oh, I need to fix that. So let
me talk to the webmaster there.
I know.
He's not doing his job. Earning his keep, so to speak.
I know.
But 431.
Right. Brandon Rummelhart. 430.
430.
You're close.
So 430.
17 yards per catch.
Now,
per
if we were playing three full games, that would be a little over 143.3 yards per game is kind of what that adds out to, right? Do your quick math.
Sure. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Works right. Math. It's a wonderful thing. So, I want you to do me a favor. When that comes up later, remember that stat, 143 yards a game and 429, you said?
Mm-hmm. 430.
430? Okay, remember that stat, because we will when we get to our next opponent, talking about Maquoketa Valley here in a little bit, and we're going to put it in perspective, because that's just what we do.
Okay.
Jessup, the Bears had a little over 440-something of total offense, again, 441 maybe, total offense on Friday night. Another superb performance by the offense. You put up 400 yards, I don't care who you're playing. It's a lot of yards. 100 yards a quarter at the high school level, you're going to score some points.
440.
440.
110
was the total.
Yards.
Gave up, I believe, 311 to Jessup.
Yep.
Quarterback Drew Schmidt, we told you last week you needed to watch out for him.
He looks
gonna
good.
He's going to throw it all over the yard.
He looks good.
That kid had a cannon.
Well, and
what a great athlete,
and
man.
Not even that. I mean, he is tall. He is built well. He is very, very mobile in the pocket. He's able to move around, escape pressure. If he needs to get out of the pocket and go, he can go, throw it on the run. I was really, really impressed with him, how he played. And if he can kind of hone in a little bit on his accuracy, he's going to be very dangerous.
Ethan Wyant, a solid receiver.
Yeah.
They do a lot of things with him to try to get the ball in that kid's hands, out of Schmidt's hands into Wyant's hands. They do a lot of different things, a lot of different formations, put him in different places. Weak cross routes, cut up and go routes, deep in routes, curl routes. They do everything in the book. He threw the ball. I bet you of his what? How many targets that he passes? Did he throw 30?
I'd have to check.
I'm just estimating. I don't know. I think it was like maybe 19 to 32 or something like that. It's a guess. Because I mean, I looked at it Friday and I haven't looked at it since.
He threw 29 passes.
So 29 passes.
Completed 12 of them.
12. Okay. Yep. Well, I had the nine right and the two just
three. Different. Three of those were picks.
So he was 12 out of 20. If you throw the picks out of the passes he threw to his 26. Team, 12 out of 26.
Yep.
And he had 190 what?
194.
Do your math there again. Just a little over 16 yards a completion.
16.2, yep.
That's big play.
Mm-hmm.
And how many of those were to Wyant? How many yards of receiving? Like he'd have 90, 100 yards?
He had 118 yards on just five catches. So 23 and a half.
I bet you he was targeted about his... targeted him about 78 times, even though he threw 20. No. I mean, they have a really good connection. They have built a good rapport. We talked about that in our pregame interview, our capsule interview with Stephen Grace and I. Ethan Wyant was going to get the ball thrown to him a lot. Number 23, what was that kid's name? I don't know his name, but he was a good target too. A nice, big, wide target coming from the tight end.
Tyler Leno.
Inside slot.
Leno.
What did he do? He had some good catches a couple times. We made good defensive plays to knock it away.
Yeah, he had three catches for 60 yards.
So there you go. Those two guys alone were basically the offense on passing. Rushing the football, they didn't really run the football that much. I mean, it's probably 120 yards rushing, maybe total. Von Brocklin was their leading rusher. Probably he still is the team's leading rusher for the season.
Yeah.
They
spread it around.
They spread it to him. Number four, I don't remember his name, but number four had the touchdown, 8-yard dash for them.
Austin Harris.
Austin Harris had that, and I'm sure Schmidt himself probably ran for 20 to 30.
Schmidt?
Yeah. I know when he gets sacked, he'd lose
19.
Yards. So there's 20. So Drew Schmidt, you remember that name, District 3, going forward. If you haven't played them yet, obviously, he's going to be the focal point of your scouting report. He and number nine, Mr. Wyant, are going to be your focal point because those kids have a connection they have. There's just something you can't teach when you have that much confidence, Matt, when you're the quarterback and have a receiver. You know, the Bears haven't had that kind of a 1-2 bop, you know, a quarterback and a receiver being locked in on one another. We've been lucky enough through the years. Last year, Cooper Koenig had three, four, five guys he could throw to. Before that, Lucas Lamont had some of the similar guys to throw to. A few years before that, Brandon Young had 1,500 yards passing, and he had three consecutive games where he had 100 yards receiving by Rylan Carew and Logan Murray, both had 100 yards receiving. So you got two guys you can throw it to.
Yeah.
But he's going to be the lion's share there, Matt, I think. But you got to watch out for Leno and... Ethan, is it the other Ethan? I can't remember his last name. Number 80-something, maybe? 88 or... But there's another Ethan that was pretty high in reception.
Yeah, Wyand was targeted 8 times.
Okay.
Our stats have him have 6 receptions, actually.
Okay.
At 121 yards.
That's what I thought.
84 yak.
That means the kid caught 6 passes. He had how many? 120 what?
121 and 84 of that...
16-37.
84 that was after the catch.
6 yards... When he got the ball, it was only for 6 yards.
Right.
So you divide 6 by 84, you get 14. So every time he caught the ball, he was running an additional 14 yards.
Yeah, basically 40 of the 121 was just the catches.
You can look at that in two ways. A, he's a really good athlete.
Yep.
He's elusive.
Or B, he's a really good athlete.
Or B, he's a really good athlete, and the defense was just in, you know, you could say it was kind of looking, you know, the defense, what are we going to do? They've got an answer for this kid.
Yeah.
But, you know, again... Going forward, those are the guys you're going to need to look out. Matt, finish some stats up for us for the Bears.
Well, yeah, so... Because
I don't know if Luke Lennock did much.
But. We'll go over some stats and get into the scoring summaries, too, just real quick. But yeah, as we said, Brandon Rumelhart was 10 of 17 passing for 171 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. Rushing, Luke Lennock, 39 attempts, 226 yards. So he averaged about 6 yards a carry.
Yeah, I thought he also, you'll get to it, but he had some good catches as well.
Yeah, and so he was three passes for 73 yards.
Okay.
And 66 of that was yak.
So his yak was even better.
Yeah. Also rushing, Cale Donovan, 12 attempts, 34 yards.
Those were hard busting yards.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're not expecting Cale. Cale's not that breakaway guy.
No.
He's the guy you need a yard or two, he's going to get it.
He's definitely going to get it.
Yeah.
Cooper Kubla caught 5 passes, 75 yards himself. And, yeah, so those are some.
Okay. But he caught 5 for 75. None more pretty, Matt, than at the end of the second period. You're going to go 7. Was it 7-7, 14-7 for the Bears scoring? But at the end of the second period with 5 seconds to go, 34 yards from the end zone, Mr. Rummelhart has 4 to the right, 1 to the left being Mr. Kubla. I'm sorry, I don't care who you are as a quarterback. You're looking at a 6'3" guy like Mr. Kubla. He's a great receiver. And he is the guy I'm going to throw it up to and get a jump ball.
Got it.
He doesn't get to drop it. And he went up and got it, turned up, went up and got it about the 2, rolled into the end zone as time
fade.
1 second left in the half. What a momentum booster. And, you know, right now he and Mr. Wyand are probably the two guys I'm looking for at all districts.
District,
and we're only one game in, but we'll get there.
Yep.
So
scoring summary. The Bears opened it up in the first quarter, just 1 score in the first quarter by both teams, or either team, rather. Lenach did, I think it was an 8-yard touchdown run. And then Javier made his first ever varsity.
Javier Zamudio, we call him Bob.
Yeah, Bob. second quarter, the Bears got on the board again. and that was the 34-yard touchdown pass to number 34, Cooper Kubla, that Jason just mentioned. Zamudio's kick was good, so 14-0 at the half for the Bears.
Kapelka, though, if
Kapelka
you're the announcer.
And Lenick.
And Jessup.
Yeah. Third quarter, Luke Lenach, another 8-yard touchdown run for his second score of the game. Again, Javier's kick was good, so 21-0 Bears in the third quarter. Bears got back on the board again in the third. Once again, Luke Lenach, he goes 37 yards for a touchdown, his third on the night. Extra point was good. Fourth quarter, it was 28-0. Jessup got on the board. Schmidt threw it to Wyant for a 26-yard touchdown. It was he was pretty wide open, and it was a beautiful pass from Schmidt to Wyant. So good play there. And then again in the fourth, Luke Lenach gets into the end zone for his fourth touchdown of the night on a 5-yard run. Javier makes his PAT, so 35-7 Bears.
And then Javier did his best Martin Gramatica impersonation, except he didn't hurt his knee. Jumped up in the air. He was pumped.
Yeah.
And then Coach Jared Tylee on the sideline is like, did you see that? He goes, don't all the good ones do that? Yes, they do.
Yep.
Yes, they do.
And then Schmidt handed it off to, let's see.
As number 4.
Don't see who it was.
Holmes.
Says unknown player.
Unknown player with the touchdown, number 4.
13-yard touchdown.
You already said his name once.
Oh, yeah, it was 4.
Holmes?
No.
Kreider?
Not Sherlock.
Was it Kreider?
No, it was not Sherlock. Austin Harris.
Austin Harris. Yeah,
just right at the middle and into the end zone. So 35-14 was the final.
35-14 the final. Matt had that. No, he didn't. He changed his prediction, as you heard earlier. 35-14 the final.
Rub
the Bears go from 1-1 to 2-1 on the season.
But
1-0 to begin District 3 Class 1A play.
Yep.
And even more importantly than that, as it gets down to the end of the season, it's way early to start talking about the playoff berth and projections.
But
this is a big win just to keep that momentum going.
Yep.
And they won by 17 points or more. The point differential this year used to be 13. Now it's 17.
Because there are more teams.
The Bears won by 17 or more.
Yep.
One of only two teams, I believe let me take that back. Yep. One of only two teams that won by 17 or more, Bellevue being the other. That's the Bears' opponent in week 5. Week 4, Matt, the Wildcats 1.0. What do you got?
I was going to say pick to clicks.
Our picks to click were, I chose the offensive line, Matt.
I chose Luke Lenach. We both win.
We both win because they clicked.
One goes, the other goes.
If one, you jump, I jump, like Titanic.
So Luke Lenach, as we mentioned, he had 39 rushing attempts, and I think it was
226.
Five receptions or four receptions or something like that.
Three.
grand total of 299 yards.
That's a bunch.
And four touchdowns.
That's a lot of touchdowns. So, along with that, if you are keeping track at home, I believe that gives him six total touchdowns. I'm usually pretty good with my numbers, so we'll go with that. What do you think, Matt? Six?
Sure.
Okay. Six rushing touchdowns on the season. Before the season, we talked about it. We'll talk about it as it gets closer. Mr. Lenock needed...
I can confirm six touchdowns.
You can confirm. Been confirmed.
Yep.
He needed nine touchdowns to tie the all-time rushing touchdown record for West Branch. 66 touchdowns rushing by Cade Jones from 2010 to 2012. Mr. Lenock now with six. Add that to 57. He has 63 total rushing touchdowns three games into a season. So if he repeats performance on Friday, he's going to break another one next Friday. But the only thing, if you ask him, he's worried about is the Bears being in the win column, the debit column, and the other team being in that credit column, borrowing away for trying to get some more wins to get into the playoffs. But that's one stat. Second stat. There are eight teams in this district, Matt, and they all played a team. Each team played a team from the district last week.
It's going to be nice.
So you got 4-4. You got four wins, four losses last week in this district. The four wins in the district last week were West Branch, Bellevue, who was the third?
Maquoketa Valley.
Maquoketa Valley and Clayton Ridge.
Yep.
The Bears play the next 2 weeks, Maquoketa Valley and Bellevue. So there's a chance to get some separation for some team. Whoever wins these games is going to get a little bit of separation near the top.
Yep.
It's going to happen. Clayton Ridge is going to have a little bit of argument in there as well.
Yep. I mean, we don't play them until week nine.
And you don't throw out Durant. Gave Maquoketa Valley all they wanted last week.
Yep.
18-11. That's a home run derby score, I believe, was that one. I was speaking with Leo Callison, the quarterback of Durant. After the game, I actually talked to him on the way home from Jessup, the Wisconsin border.
How in the heck you didn't have much time to talk to anybody?
It's crazy, isn't it?
Such a short drive.
It is. I decided to own this 10-minute drive times 12.
Yep.
I would give him a call or a text, and he was gracious to respond and told me the score, and I asked him a few things. And, hats off to Durant. You know, they're playing spirited football. We'll get to them. Guess what, Matt?
What?
After Maquoketa Bellevue, guess who comes next? Durant.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to them.
Look at that.
We keep getting to that team. We'll get to this one. We'll get to that one.
Eventually.
We said we'd get to Maquoketa Valley, and now we have. Maquoketa Valley 3-0 on the season. They are unranked. They are not ranked in either poll of the major newspaper polls. 1-0 in the district after having beaten, as we mentioned, Durant 18-11. So their point differential is just 7. Very important. Remember that as the season goes on. Coach at Maquoketa Valley, if you've ever heard of a guy named Chris Evers.
I have.
You ever heard of him?
I have.
Where did he used to coach, Matt?
Albernette.
He used to be the Albernette football coach. 2 years ago, he resigned from coaching. Decided he just wanted to take a break. And this opportunity presented itself at Maquoketa Valley, and he jumped on it, and he's got himself a good football team up there.
Yes, he does.
A lot of guys returning. Statistically, we knew that Alec McDowell was going to be a hard running back. Last year, he had over 1,300 yards rushing. So far through three games, 65 carries, 404 yards, four touchdowns, 6.2 yards per carry. Throwing the football, Tyson Tucker. 24 completions and 52 attempts. That's 46.2% on his completions. 424 yards and four touchdowns. Remember I said we'd get back to something? They've got themselves a quarterback. The Wildcats have a quarterback through for 424. Who do the Bears have? And he's thrown for how many? Brandon Rummelhart's thrown for what?
430
again.
430.
6 yards apart. Remember that.
Remember, there's a lot of things to remember, Jay.
There's a lot of things to remember, but we're going to get some symmetry here.
Okay.
Matt. That's where
we're
going to
bring it all together here.
Alec McDowell, 404 yards rushing. Luke Lenock, 82?
Something like that.
We'll go with it, give or take yards.
Look
it up for me.
I could probably find that.
It's 480 something.
It is 482.
I got a lucky guess there. So
right.
They're both in the 400 range of rushing in two games. Lenock has six touchdowns compared to McDowell's four. West Branch's second leading rusher has how many yards, Matt?
157 by Cale Donovan.
Tyson Tucker, the quarterback for the... I was looking at this earlier. This is planned, of course.
Right.
Tyson Tucker, the quarterback, who's thrown for 424, has also rushed for 162.
Huh.
Symmetry, 5 yards. They are a very, very similar football team. Now, let's go on to receiving. Cooper, the Cobbler, has how many receiving yards this year? Let me do some math in my head for fun. 75, 27, 102 plus 163, like 265?
On the money. Okay. You said you already looked it up.
No, that one I didn't. I know our stats. I didn't know their stats until I looked them up. Zach Harbaugh, the leading receiver for the Wildcats, 223. Symmetry. That's where I'm going with this. How many catches, how many yards does Luke Lenock? This is the last one and we'll stop.
Receiving?
Yes.
81.
118. So we're pretty close. These two teams are very much a mirror image of one another statistically.
On paper.
And on paper, we've talked about this before, they look similar, they do similar things. They like to do similar things. The Bears are a little bit more diverse on defense. We're going to get a look from the Wildcats, Matt. They're going to be in a 4-4 look most of the time unless they have something up their sleeves that we haven't seen on film in the first three games. They're a very solid 4-4 cover 3 football team. That is, it's not always easy to go against that, but I'm sure the Bears will have a game plan. Well, important game. It's at home. It's the Bears lost their last home game, week 2. They have a chip on their shoulder, Matt, and I think that's just among many things that are going to be in the Bears' back of their mind is, A, they want to keep this momentum going, keep it going, but they want to get their swagger back at home.
Yeah, they absolutely do. I mean, I think this is going to be the first game in the brand new jerseys, which is going to be nice. And definitely, as you said, the Bears really want to get their swagger back and really kind of avenge that home opener loss. That doesn't I know that that really did not sit well with the team, based on the, you know, really good practice week of practice they had this past week. I know they're really going to be amped up to get back at home this week, and I think they certainly know it's a very important district game. And as you said, you know, these next 2 weeks are going to be really big. Important to see, not just for West Branch but for the other teams as well, just to really kind of, you know, jockey for positioning in this district and be trying by the time this season is done, be one of the two teams sitting atop the district to get into the, you know, now more limited playoffs. And I think they really learned. I think it was Luke that was talking after the game Friday that they really learned during practice last week. And Brandon Romelhart talked about this week in his Captain's Corner editorial of how last week they really learned how they need to practice, how this team needs to practice.
We're talking about practice.
How to prepare for each of their opponents every week and how to win. Home run Cubs. Dexter Fowler.
All right, that's a two-run job. 4-0 now, the Cubs.
Top of the fifth, one out.
Top of the fifth. 70 pitches now from the cart on the mound. He's going to be done after this inning.
Yep. So, I really expect this team to just really kind of continue to build on what they did this last Friday night against Jessup. Really kind of, you know, turn a lot of those small mistakes, rather correct a lot of those small mistakes, keep pounding away. I think what was really impressive to me was that Friday night, Brandon Romelhart looked very, very, very comfortable in the pocket for the Bears. You know, not even, I mean, just the little things, handing the ball off even. I mean, he just looked very comfortable running the offense, running his checks at the line, calling various, you know, different blocking schemes and that kind of thing for his line. And the receivers looked comfortable. The defense looked much improved, especially on the passing side. I mean, they really got into the backfield. The defensive line got into the backfield as well. So I think they're really improving. And I think it really started with them figuring out how they need to practice, how they need to focus during the week, how they need to prepare, and in the coaching staff too, what it takes for these players to respond to their coaching methods, the way that they want to coach them, the things that they need to teach them. I think this team even after, I mean, just after 3 weeks, I mean, I think they have it figured out. So this Friday at home is going to be a big test against Mac Valley, who the last time we played them was the 2013 playoffs, I believe.
38-21 was the final, week one.
We went up there, and it was a lot closer game than the score indicated.
The Bears actually went ahead 21-17 in the third quarter.
Yep.
And then
got away. Yep.
It got away on a fourth. Yep. The Bears were right there, and actually it stopped him on the next drive and a fake punt. Ryan Parmley, the Bears jump off sides on a fourth down play. Or call time. We got Ryan Parmley'd. But a lot of teams, let me tell you, they got Ryan Parmley. He's the second leading rusher all time in Iowa football, high school football history, man.
Yep. So I'm looking forward to Friday. I think it's going to be a good atmosphere. Bears know what they need to do. It's going to be a good one. And I think there'll be a little bit of a bang before the game starts.
I hope there's a bang throughout the game. Well, bang. Touchdown, Bears. For the drums on the fight song and etc.
Yep.
No offense, but I said it last week. You might not want to get in the way when the train's on the tracks. I had that feeling last week. I'm going to carry that feeling over to this week, Matt, because it's not on the road. You got to avenge that last, just it left a sour taste in your mouth whenever you lose at home.
Yeah.
Bears don't do that very often.
Nope.
In fact, it's only happened only six teams since the turn of the century have beaten West Branch and West Branch.
And that's just the facts. That's what it is.
That's the bare facts.
Yep.
But it happened. They bounced back last week against Jessup. Need to bounce again. Keep bouncing forward and progressing this week against the Wildcats in Maquoka Valley. Coach Evers has a good club up there statistically. They're going to present a challenge.
Yeah.
They're going to present a challenge on the ground. They're going to be trying to present a challenge through the air. The Bears need to be prepared. This is no spring chicken. This is no gimme for anyone.
No.
Maquoka Valley is going to be a tough out for anybody this year.
Yep.
So
7:30.
5 o'clock, JV game. Yep. Speaking of which, they're playing right now, the JV team, as we record.
It actually just got done, and they ended up losing 12-7.
The Bears, JV, 12-7, the final.
Thank you, Troy Shanker, for that score update.
All right. So, hard-fought battle. They're going to have to come back and play again Friday night in the friendly confines of the Little Rose Bowl.
Historic
Little Rose Bowl. Oliphant Street Field rededicated the Little Rose Bowl in 1949.
Thank you.
Now the historic Little Rose Bowl.
Thank you.
So Matt brought this up a little while ago, seemingly a long time ago. He talked about the coaches or the captain's corner.
Yep.
The captain's corner is kind of an idea we came up with before the season just to add content to westbranchfootball.com, where we asked the captains, the five of them, all 17, to write an article, just sort of an article or an editorial, as it were, each week to sort of tell you what's been going on that week, what they did, a little bit of inside the huddle, if you will, from that week and how it led up to Friday into the win or the loss that week. And started in week one of camp with Brandon Rummelhart, and then it went to
Luke Lenock,
and then Cale Donovan, and then Cooper Cobla. Or did it go?
It was
Cole Tysinger,
then Cooper Cobla.
We've rolled it back around.
Yep.
Last week, if you look on westbranchfootball.com, up right now live is the article, the editorial written by.
They're all up there.
They're all up. But the most recent is Brandon Rummelhart talks about the Bears week last week. Matt made mention of this earlier, of what they went through this week to get prepared, to get their mind back after losing a football game, and to get a victory on the road to begin the district. This week, Mr. Lenock is going to write about, hopefully, what the Bears did this week to get their mind right to get a win at home in the district to get to 2-0.
Yeah. I'm loving these captain corner spaces.
It's fun.
And I know fans are loving it too. Parents are loving it. It's getting a lot of a good traffic on Facebook and that kind of thing. So they're fun, and it's great to hear from the players and have that perspective from them on the website. And you and I have talked about it a little bit. I think once we get through again the cycle, the five current captains, we might talk to some former captains who are still on the team coaching.
And so, as it works out, there are four guys that have yet to do their second, and we're week four. So I'd take care of 4, 5, 6, and 7. then we get to 8 and 9. Hopefully, we aren't going to put the cart in the horse. We'll get there as we get closer. We'll start talking about some of the ideas we have to use those guys and how it's going to tie in. It'll be a really neat tie-in. If you were listening to the podcast 2 weeks ago, and as the statistics show, about 400 or 500 of you were, you got to hear a little bit of insight from Matt Hills and Kevin Braddock on the 25th anniversary year season of their state championship undefeated football team in 1991, 13-0. You got to hear a little bit of what they can still remember. They still remember it like it was yesterday, what they went through to begin the season and through practice and through the playoffs, etc. And it's a neat thing. And perhaps it's going to ring true as we get down towards the end of the season and have some of their insight then. So, Matthew.
Yes, Jason.
What are we going to do now? What do you think?
Do we want to give our...
Trivia question. Let's do it. Let's give a little explanation here. Last week's trivia question, as presented by me and me alone. No offense. We're in on this together, though. There was, when was the last season the Bears began 1-1? The answer was 2011. If you're doing the math at home, 2011 was the last time the Bears began 1-1. In fact,
I can confirm.
They began 1-2. Okay, 1-2 that season.
They beat now, West Liberty at home, lost at Lisbon, lost at Albernette.
And lost at Albernette 42-35. That was a barn.
Yeah, I remember that one. That was a good game. Bears and then got, we came back and Bears beat them in
revenge,
the playoffs.
21-6 or something like that.
21-13.
Yeah, they had held the state's leading rusher to 160 yards, but he had 32 carries. Okay, he was averaging about, Mitchell Harger was averaging about
still a pretty impressive game.
By the way, if that name rings a bell, it should. He caught a pass the other guy for the Iowa State Cyclones against the Iowa Hawkeyes, number 22 for the Iowa State Cyclones is Mitchell Harger of Albernette, Iowa. So,
you know
I said 1-1, Matt. We heard about, I heard from one or two people that they thought I was trying to, it was not being kind to this year's football team. Well, hear me out. Here's the second half of why I asked that question. They were 1-1 that year. Matt just said 1-2. What happened in 2011, Matt, after that 1-2 start?
The Bears ended up winning all of their games up until the semifinals in the UNI Dome.
They played in the UNI Dome, which was, by the way, the last time the Bears were playing in the semifinals of the Iowa High School Athletic Association playoffs.
Yep.
They started 1-1. So I'm just trying to make a little symmetry, just trying to have that out there for fun. No slight, it was just a question. No big deal.
Yep.
Moving forward, this week's question will be...
Well, we never got an answer from anybody.
Telly Zuniga, or not Telly, Dano, said he was going to send it in.
And he didn't.
But he didn't.
He didn't.
So, this week, the winner. We're going to double up this week if we get to 10 answers. We get to 10 responses from 10 different people. I'm talking 10 different people, not you send it, Matt and Anderson, and an answer to all three different avenues that you can get a hold of us at. 10 different people. By the way, I spoke to the new guy.
The new guy?
I spoke to the new guy yesterday.
The new guy in town?
The new guy in town yesterday. He said that since he moved to town, his new job has him busy working like a working class dog, as Rick Springfield would say. So he hasn't had the opportunity to catch up with the podcast. But he promised me that when he gets his work caught up, he will catch up with the Talking Bear Football podcast.
Right,
Matt,
here on westbranchfootball.com.
Yes, and he will join us once again with an answer.
Perfect.
He's a new guy.
I miss him.
Mr. Westcott, we miss you. Give us an answer out there.
Yep.
We miss anyone because not everybody gave us an answer last week.
No, nobody gave an answer.
300 or 400 of every week are listening to us.
Yep.
Not too difficult to... What the heck? It's a free... It's trivia. It's a free prize.
Can
we're going to double up. Here it is. Not only will you get a visor of your choice this week.
Yep.
We're going to throw in a $10 gift certificate to Main Street Suites.
Oh.
If we get 10 different people answering, not like making it up, creating your own account on a Gmail deal. I want 10 different people.
Mm-hmm.
If we do that, I'll kick in for a $10 Main Street Suites gift certificate.
Perfect.
And the prizes will start getting better as we go.
Alrighty.
Okay.
But we so got to have the answers.
But we got to have the answers.
We got to have participation.
These questions, we said they're going to get more difficult as the season goes on, didn't we, Matt?
Yep.
Did we say they were going to get more difficult?
I believe we said that.
Well, you're going to have to, unless you are a diehard fan, and I know some of you are, and it really won't be that difficult if you've been following the Bear football team for the last 15, 20, 30 years, like I have.
I'm not even 30 years old.
But you've been following. You have.
Okay.
Since you came out the womb, you've been watching the Bear football team, and you know, you may know the answer to this question.
All right.
This week's trivia question comes courtesy of you, courtesy of me, of the 2000 West Branch football team. Okay.
Okay.
The four defensive backs on that football team, including Coach Jared Tiley.
Correct.
Jay Schultz.
Yep.
Jason Vincent. And I believe Timmy Hamer.
Okay.
Okay. I believe those were the four. No, sorry, Randy Seidel. Randy Seidel. I think they were the four.
Okay.
They were pretty successful. Butch had a nickname for these guys. Butch said, boy, you guys out there, when you get on, you're defending someone, you're on them like a blank. So he called them what? The 2000 West Branch football team defensive backfield had a nickname. Keep it clean, because it was clean. Butch called them the what? So, for a West Branch football visor and a $10 Main Street Suites gift certificate.
You think I know the answer. I don't know it off the top of my head.
But he will.
But if you say it,
he'll be like, I know
it. I will like, nope, I've heard that.
Side question for Matt Shenander.
Okay.
Matt, what was Jared Tiley's high school football jersey number? Come on. Of all people, you should know this.
11.
Close. The other one.
7.
7.
Okay.
Jared Tiley was number 7. Jay Schultz was number 5. The Nugget. Jason Vincent was number 20. And Randy Seidel was number 10. Those are the numbers, but that's not the nickname. Give it to us. Let's move on. Picks to click.
Let's do it.
Me first? You? Do I go first on pick click?
You go first. You have the...
still have somebody saved in honor of his effort this week. 4-touchdown effort last week.
You're going to take him now?
Honor of his 4-touchdown effort. If he were to take it 4 more this week,
yep.
Luke Lenock would be the new career touchdown holder in West Branch. But Coach Evers at Maquoketa Valley going to have something to say about that. And since they will have something to say about that, my pick to click this week is Jacob Graves, the cheesy.
Good pick.
I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
He's going to have a touchdown reception. He's going to have an interception. He's had an interception the last 2 weeks. Why not go for the turkey, the trifecta this week? Jacob Graves, my pick to click. Who you got, man? Luke Lennox out. You lost him until the playoffs. He's off the ticket.
Oh, yeah, of course. My pick to click this week. I feel like every week here he's been progressing on getting a little bit smarter, a little bit more physical, a little bit more efficient.
Okay.
In how he is getting into opponents' backfields and learning how to...
No doubt about it.
...run preventative defenses and be aggressive on defense. And I know Coach Tully Zuniga has been coaching him pretty hard.
You daggum right.
Talking to him up pretty hard, too. And it's time to take my main man, Billy Freese.
Billy Freese, yep. Number 17 in the playbook, but...
Number 1 in your hearts.
Number 1 in your hearts this week. In Matt's playbook, he's number 1 this week. So picks to click.
Yep. I think I've made my decision on the very important selfies with Matt, which I've delayed starting this year.
Yes.
Because I just haven't quite found the right guy to do it with.
And
I think I've made my decision. I've talked it over with HR.
Yes.
And I think I'm going to choose Billy Freese.
Billy Freese, and you get him for 2 seasons.
He does not know that. Exactly.
If he's listening,
he
knows.
And he does not know that.
But if you're listening, Drake Bloom, and I know you are,
yep.
Don't be disappointed. You were given heavy consideration.
You were.
Your senior season, maybe you could be on for selfies with Matt.
Yep.
Time will tell.
Yep.
Victory selfies with Jason and Luke Lenock is a hick. It's a hit.
Oh, sorry.
We're Hicks. Yeah. Hicks from the Sticks. No, yep. That's an old West Branch reference there. Victory selfies with Jason and Luke Lenock.
Hopefully it'll be another victory.
Selfie number three this week.
Yep.
And by the way, if you haven't had the opportunity to, I know Mr. Shenander has linked it to the website.
What's my last name?
Shenander.
No.
Chenander.
Chenander, thank you.
Mr. Chenander has linked this article for the third time to our website, written by Matthew Bain of the Iowa City Press Citizen. Does a very in-depth profile of Luke Lenock from the Press Citizen, a digital article on the website right now. I remembered that, Matt, because he put a picture of Luke and my selfie as part of his article.
Hmm.
And if you're listening, Mr. Bain, you did not have my permission to do that. But you might have had Luke's, and his overrides mine, yep. Even though it's my Twitter.
He is the star of the photo.
He's the big ticket item.
Yeah.
Because you could put a blotch over my face and be better. Even if I, and another thing, if I tried to grow my beard for 17 years, I would never have as thick a beard as what Luke Lenock has right now. Guy can grow a beard. Pretty solid.
That's pretty...
That's Chenander-like.
That's pretty good. I think his...
Because I know you're the beard aficionado here.
His... For a high schooler, that's pretty impressive. I think that was a little bit better than mine in high school.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go with that.
I'm still trying to find that selfie.
Let's get back on track. I'm
trying to find that selfie photo. There it is.
You got it?
There it is. Look at that.
Okay, you found it. Look at that. Look at there. Look up here. Yep. Let's get back on track.
Real quick.
Yes?
No, I'll wait.
Wait for it?
No, I'll wait. Go ahead.
Wait for it.
I'll wait.
All right. Just Matthew first.
I'm going to wait about three more outs. And then
why don't you pick the correct score this week, Matt? You picked it. No, you didn't pick it last week.
Just about.
Yeah, it doesn't count. It's like slow dancing and hand grenades, almost.
34. 22, the Bears.
I'm not even going to hesitate. 41-13, West Branch. Train's rolling. No offense. Just feel it. I will say the same thing, Matt.
You said 41-14?
41-13.
13, excuse me.
We would take what score as long as the Bears win?
19-18.
We would take it. As long as West Branch wins, we'll take it.
Yep.
But that's all our choices. So okay. Your choices can be made known.
34-22.
And 41-13.
And I had...
Billy Freeze. And I had the cheese.
Yep. Jacob Graves.
I'm
just writing this down. That way we don't forget
for prosperity.
It. Yep.
Well, fans, who do you have?
Yep.
Now,
you got to let us know.
Can you send us your trivia answer? The question is, 2000 West Branch Bears defensive backfield had a nickname for the defensive backs in 2000. What was it? You can also tell us your pick to click, and your score projection. You can send those to the @WBBearsFootball Twitter. Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to the West Branch Football Facebook page.
Correct.
And type a message there. Or you can email it to us at contact@westbranchfootball.com.
Correct.
Or what was the other one?
If you're listening here on the website, there's a comment section on this post.
So you could do it four different ways.
Yep.
No reason
to not. Counts as one entry.
It does. But the trivia question, if you get it right, you get your own visor to choose from Matt's personal collection, as well as a Main Street Suites $10 gift certificate if we get 10 different answers. Not correct answers, but 10 different
guesses.
And we haven't even totaled that this year for the first 3 weeks.
Nope.
So I'm thinking $10 is going to be saved. So we got that in.
Real quick before we move on.
Matt had something he was saving, waited for it, and here it is.
Well, never mind. I take it back. We did not get a pick-to-click and score prediction from Greg Norfleet this week.
You're kidding me.
Nope.
Well, we did get a Bear victory last week, Matt. And that's all that really matters.
That's what
matters right now.
That is what matters.
Victories. No, I mean, those are the good things. We like those victories.
But what comes from victories is getting better every week.
1% each day.
1% each day.
Improve 1%. Getting better 1-0 each week.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go 1-0 each week,
yep,
you're probably going to have a pretty successful football team.
I would agree with that.
And that's football.
That's a pretty fair assessment.
I once in a while I get one correct. You know, I like to do that here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you got it. We got it. Songbooks are what's past the songbooks in.
We couldn't come up with anything better, so we might as well bring it back.
Let's pass them in. It worked last week, so pass the songbook thing, folks.
Yep.
Because that's the end of this week's Talkin' Bear Football Podcast.
Right here on WestBranchFootball.com.
Take care, everyone.
So Jason, before we go here, update on the Cubs here. Through six innings, Kyle Hendricks has a no-hitter going, and I don't believe in the jinx crap, so I'm just going to go ahead and say it. And there's one error on the Cubs, so and I haven't been paying attention close enough attention to see if he's walked anybody.
It wouldn't matter. It's still...
I know that it's over, but I'm just saying that the perfect game's over.
The perfect game.
I'm just wondering about the walks.
Well, all right. Well...
Because
he's had about 60 pitches, 60, 63 pitches through six.
That's pretty good.
That's ridiculous.
That's pretty good to me.
He's at that puts him at a pace of just over 85 pitches for nine innings. That's disgusting.
I'd
like to know the stat.
He's being Kyle Hendricks.
I'd like to know the stat for the lowest amount of pitches ever and a no-hitter. There's another trivia question for you. Matt will throw in a Cubs t-shirt.
I will not.
A game used t-shirt worn by Ron Say, the Penguin.
Alfonso Soriano.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's that.
One walk. FYI.
Okay. Just in case you wanted to know here on the Talking Bear Football Podcast.
Hopefully by the time this is out, it's been nine innings with no hits.
All right.
Okay.
Good talk.
That's all we have.
Thanks for that.
Goodbye.